everyone, welcome to the Red Light Roundtable, the first ever episode of the Red Light Gaming Podcast. I am C Cage here with the rest of the crew. Want to go around the metaphorical table and introduce ourselves?
We'll just go in alphabetical order based on Discord chat. In which case, my name is AJ. Most people call me Echo. That's all you need to know about me.
And I guess I will go. I'm Josh. You can call me JT or some guy who sucks dicks at Overwatch, whatever. I go on Twitch, and my son wants to be on now, apparently.
Micro JT.
But yeah. Yeah, he's showing off some really sweet jammies. I'm nice. A dad. I'm a dad, by the way.
I have cats.
I'm Nestle Drink. I don't have a cat, but
you will.
Maybe I will. But I'll play Overwatch sometimes. I'm really terrible at it.
Yeah, aren't we all?
And he also hates Destiny and AMD.
And speaking of that, here comes our own Overwatch fantasy team.
Yeah.
Woo woo.
That's true. We did just start let's start on the first topic we got here. This has been quite the eventful week in the field of technology and gaming. We had the launch of the Overwatch League, which was, in my opinion, a really huge success. There were some amazing games this week from a lot of different teams. We got to see a lot of cool new players. The new arena is amazing. Basically one giant LED screen behind a bunch of players.
I'm going to convert my house to that.
Right?
I want to live there.
It was so cool.
Yeah, if I could just get Blizzard to send me the schematics of that screen, that'd be sweet.
Right? I don't even know how the hell I did that.
I have no idea. Because it's one thing to just build a flat screen, you know, out of multiple panels, but that thing has curves in it.
I know.
And they're like smooth curves. They're not just angles. And
you know what kind of reminded me of, actually? The entrance stage for, like, WrestleMania or any big WWE show, where, like, they have the Titantron kind of behind the entrance ramp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The big screen there.
Vince McMahon owns the Overwatch League. Confirmed.
Maybe.
There we go.
They got all his money from somewhere.
That's mm-hmm. true.
So and what was...
Shit wasn't the Diablo 3 auction house.
Blizzard jokes. Hey.
Nice. Hey. So what did you all think? What were some of your moments from the week? I know not everyone watched every game, but... From what you saw, what were some things that stood out to you?
Well, I personally really enjoyed everything that I saw. It's really nice to see a competitive league like this where, the first day, everyone just got steamrolled pretty much. I'm pretty sure there was like two sweeps and then the other one was basically a sweep. But, it's cool to see players that are actually able to just show off their skill and we'll be able to see them every week. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, talking about skill though, did you see the people playing Widowmaker?
Yes. Oh yeah, the Widow duels were some of my favorite parts.
Oh my god, I could not even. I mean, they were like quick scope and everything, but by the time I was done scanning the screen, they'd already killed two people. Like, yeah, what is that?
Yeah, like I was watching this guy. His name is Fleta. I think he's from the Soul Dynasty team.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
yeah. My girlfriend supports that team, so he's like every time the camera is on him, all he does is he would like do his grapple, and then while the Widow was like floating, he would like scope in, and then he would get a headshot and just kill like the Mercy. I'm like, how did you do that? I literally just saw the enemy and with my eyes, and the enemy already died.
Yeah. That was incredible. Go ahead.
If I remember correctly, I think it was Flutter, but there was one of the players had like an insane pre-game like practice regimen where he goes and plays like an hour or two of Osu, which is a beat mapping game where you have to, you know, use your mouse or whatever input device you have to like tap on the screen really quickly in very precise location. And then he goes and does the reaction speed test game, and then he finally goes into quick play, and then he plays ranked, and it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, that's exactly what I watch. I was watching some last night after the game ended, like the whole Overwatch League ended for the first week. I was kind of in the mood to watch more Overwatch, so I was just watching on Twitch some guy. I think it's one of the player who's in the tournament. I believe his name is Agility. He's Korean, and he was playing Osu the entire because when you're that high up in the ranking, you don't really have a lot of people to match with. So the queue, the rank queue, it takes a while, could take like 20 minutes or 15 minutes. So that entire time he would be playing Osu the entire time, and it's crazy. And then he would play on like the S rank too, and then it's super fast. And that's another thing where my eyes is seeing one thing and he's already like two or three steps of, like, ahead of my, like, where my eyes is looking. It's nuts.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what I need to do. Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
So
we need to play Osu.
Yep, we got to start playing Osu. Get back. I can bust out my Guitar Hero from back in the day.
Yeah.
The drum pad. Reaction time. Yeah, the drum pads. I still got them somewhere.
There you go.
Unless my mom sold them.
That may have happened.
One guy who I've kept my eye on this entire week was Pine from New York. I had the New York-Houston game on in the background when I was doing stuff in my room. And I kept hearing the crowd start getting really into it. And I looked, he was playing McCree, and he cleared, they were playing on the Elios well level, and he just cleared the entire map with McCree. And he went on to like 5 or 6 kills within 30 seconds. And then he fucking dabbed in the middle, right on the stage. So that was just, I was like, wow, that guy has some confidence.
And it was probably just high noon.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely high noon.
Checked his watch. High noon. Time to dab.
Yeah. Boom.
Dab. High noon. Dab.
He's the one that's in New York.
Yeah, right? From New York Celsius.
Yeah. I think his old name is Chicken or something.
Yeah. He was saying that.
I don't remember if it was him or I think it was the New York versus Houston game. And I think it was him who dived into either Genji or another McCree. Flashbang that, killed it, and then rolled in on the back of the stage, and then he would high noon the Mercy, and that basically win the point.
Yeah, I think that was right after what I was just talking about.
That's insane.
He's so good. And then the next round, he switched to Widowmaker and is getting the Reddit shot, which is where you, as Widowmaker, you grapple a really high thing, so you jump up really high. When you reach the apex of your jump, you scope.
Yep.
And as you come down, you get a headshot.
Yeah, that's exactly what Fleta was doing.
He did that.
It's crazy. These Widowmaker players are nuts.
I know. I can't play Widowmaker at all. I'm so bad with her.
Yeah, it really amazes me just how each of the players on the team, has kind of a preferred role, DPS, support, healer, tank, whatever. But the fact that most of them can probably just pick up a Widowmaker and absolutely wreck everything about my life is
exactly
same thing with the Tracer.
The Tracer plays, you can't even focus on what's happening. Speaking of playing fast, they're moving around the map so quickly you can't even see what's happening.
Yeah. Whenever they switch to the perspective of a Tracer, I don't even understand what's happening. I'm just like, okay, shooty stuff, jumpy stuff, blinky stuff. Yeah, I don't know. I'm lost.
It's cool.
I'm lost.
What one of the Tracer play that really stood out, at least to me, was the Tracer was chasing after Mercy, and the Mercy flew away, so he knows he can't catch him. So he turned around, zipped to Zenyatta and kill him with one clip. And then he knows that the Mercy is going to come back to res the Zenyatta. So he dropped the ult right before the Mercy res him.
Oh, so, my God.
Right when the Mercy was resing, the ult exploded and both died. That's insane.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's how the hell do you do this?
Especially on the fly. That's some premeditated stuff. And you're just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this right now. That's nuts.
Yeah.
These are the things that separate pros from your average Joes.
From your average JT.
Yeah, or in my case, you're below average, Echo. So it's crazy to see just how high skill they are, and I really wonder just how well some of these guys would do in other competitive games like CS:GO and things of that nature.
I think some are probably moved from CS:GO or other similar.
That's games. What I was here look I was seeing when I was looking some of these guys up. A lot of the American teams have a lot of younger guys who are mostly like got into the field in Overwatch. But some of the Korean players were StarCraft, CSGO, games like that that also require a lot of precise movements. Yeah, not more like fast-paced strategy games, not necessarily like MOBAs. But it was cool to like, I'm sure they're better in like any game. They could probably pick up any game and be a master at it.
Yeah, or at least compete at a very, very high level. Yeah.
Like so, they go home and play Mario Party, they're going to kick everyone's ass.
Right. So now, I guess now that we've kind of gone over, you know, separate plays or players, what are like, I'm personally looking out for Seagull because I enjoy watching him on Twitch. That's kind of how I discovered him in competitive Overwatch. So do you guys have any other players that you are following that I should check out?
I mean, personally, I'm not really following any player. I mean, I'm still in my introductory phase to the whole league, so I'm not really watching anyone in particular, but I'll probably keep my eye on that Pine dude.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the intro video that they did for him. Like, that was pretty cool.
To me, I think I'm looking at two players. One is the Jaehong from Seoul. He's a support, so he likes I usually like to play support, so that's kind of I'm trying to see how he plays. And there's another one I forgot what his name is, but he also plays Zenyatta, and I guess he was like topping the I think he was like topping the like the chart in there, like his damage as a support, which is crazy.
Yeah, that is pretty ridiculous.
One guy who's, I don't think he played at all this week, that could be wrong with that, but I'm not sure. So as all of you know, I am a New England Patriots fan. You may all give me your hate right now.
Ooh, this man.
Well, we'll see you all in the AFC East next weekend. So of course I gotta support the Boston Uprising. But there's a guy on it who I don't think he played at all this week. Avast. Now, the reason he stands out to me is because him and I have the same name. His real name's Connor. So, and he plays Lucio. So, you know, we're basically the same person. So I gotta support him.
Yeah, you might as well just, you know, go to Los Angeles and take a spot on the team.
Yeah.
What about, so you're supporting, Boston. I'm supporting Seoul. And it's for, I mean, to me it's a good reason, but for most people it's probably a stupid reason. I logged into Overwatch earlier today and noticed that you could preview the uniforms, because one of the cool things they did about this league was they let you, or they created all new skins for every hero for each team, so they can all like match, and I think that's really cool. But I went through, and Reinhardt is one of my favorite characters, so I just looked for whichever skin looked the best on Reinhardt, and it was Seoul. So
I think Seoul has the best skin on everybody, just because of their color, how their color scheme is, like, you know, gold and black. It just kind of, it's neutral, it kind of looks nice, but everyone else has some sort of like neon color. So
yeah, as a Cleveland Browns fan, it hurts me to support a team that wears gold and black,
but, oh, you're killing me here.
Because JT is a Steelers fan, and sad to say for him, his team will not be advancing to the next round of the playoffs.
Nope.
let's not talk about that.
Should be noted that today, the day of recording this was the day of the AFC divisional games. So JT is a little salty.
Just a bit.
I've been calling this loss all week.
Oh, yeah. It was a good game, though.
That's debatable.
I mean, they closed back in on the end, so yeah. I mean, it was good in that it was exciting.
Despite the coaching.
I don't know. I'm not used to my teams losing, so well, I don't know what that's like.
Coaching. You have great coaching.
Yeah, it must be nice to have a coach that's competent.
It is.
I wouldn't know what that's like.
I mean, as soon as he's done, we're going to suck again, so I don't know how to feel about that. But until then, we're great.
At least none of us has John Gruden tied up with like a 10-year contract here. So
yeah. So, all right, we know who I'm supporting. We know who Cage is supporting. What about you other guys?
I'm supporting London just because that's some place that I like. So, and as I would like to call it, it's my hometown.
Okay.
Even though it's not.
And I'm gonna have to go with Dallas just because I was watching them and I was getting pretty damn hyped.
Yeah.
So I mean, without knowing much of the backstory, I mean, I know they did a thing about Seoul and Dallas kind of having a pre-existing rivalry. You know, I was kind of cool with that, but you know,
yeah, Dallas is like where all the Western superstars are, I think.
Yeah,
and Seoul is where like the Korean superstars playing.
So not only are JT and I going to be football rivals, we're also going to be Overwatch rivals. So maybe my team will do better this time.
Maybe.
We are the yin and the yang of red light.
Yeah, right.
I will say this. I think Houston has, we're saying this a little bit before the show, I think Houston has the greatest names of any team. And my
Cool Matt 69?
Cool Matt 69. He is, that is his legitimate, well, he's Cool Matt. And he's number 69. That is, I really want to buy his jersey just for that reason. So I think Houston wins on names.
Yeah, I definitely think that Houston has the best player name, just overall.
Yeah.
I recently, as in like 10 minutes ago, found out that Houston is owned by Hex. Who's one of my favorite people in all of esports. I've met him. He's a really nice guy. Gave me lots of advice for like what to do if I wanted to try and break into esports in any role, you know, as a player, as a just a support staff type person, coach, whatever. So he's pretty cool. Would buy his jersey.
That's really cool.
AJ's got all of these connections. It's really crazy.
Well, I went to, it was an MLG Columbus. And I guess they're bringing MLG back to Columbus pretty soon, so he might be there. Nice. But yeah, it was just an MLG Columbus tournament, and while Optic was playing, I was just hanging out in the crowd, and I managed to see him surrounded by people. So I just went and hung out with the people and talked to him, and it was pretty cool. I enjoyed it.
Sweet. Well, this whole like Overwatch League and the whole esports rise in general. When I was in college, one of my communication classes was research and communication. So our final project was to research a topic. It was about 3 or 4 months of research. I think some of you actually might have answered my survey I did for this.
Probably. Because
my idea was to research esports and the impact like Twitch and streaming sites have on the consumption of it. So my hypothesis was that the more people game, the more like aware of everything of it in the gaming world they are, which was obviously true. But I also focused on like how esports are portrayed similar to typical sports, which this was in 2015. So this is like 3-ish years ago. So at that time, the League of Legends World Championship was in Korea with Imagine Dragons playing. So like it was a huge thing. that was when the song Warriors came out, so like that was big. I think at that point they had 27 million viewers on the finals, which I believe was more than the MLB World Series that year. I can't entirely remember how much of that is right, but it was either more than or comparable to the World Series. So I remember writing in that paper that esports is going to become a franchise thing, is going to take off, and like big business are going to be interested in getting in on this. And my professor at the time was like, no, I don't think this will happen. I don't believe you. Fast forward to now, when Robert Kraft buys a Overwatch team that puts a New England Patriots name on it.
Right. Yeah.
And the Golden State Warriors, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they all have League of Legends teams now. Like,
it sounds like we've got the esports Nostradamus here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, even if you look at I think the two esports that I'm following are Dota 2 and Overwatch now. Mm-hmm. And Dota 2 has been very impressive as far as like the price pool and like just the production in general.
Was it last year like $3 million for the winning team?
No, it's like 10, I believe.
Really?
Let me just double check. But yeah,
that's crazy. Yeah.
I will say the production value of those Dota 2, like the international, you know, yes. I'm not even into Dota, and I occasionally will catch the international, and oh my god, the production value is just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I've been watching the international for like 4 years now, and by the way, the TI 2017, the prize pool was $25 million.
Oh my god.
it's been going up exponentially every year, pretty much.
That's amazing.
I
gotta get in Dota 2.
Right. I kind of wonder how, because like Dota 2, correct me if I'm wrong, they like Halo did the same kind of thing where they earned money for their prize pools by like selling packs, things of that nature, right? Or like skins. I kind of wonder if they're going to try and implement something like that with Overwatch, because I know you can buy the Overwatch skin. And it's like, in order to buy one skin, you pay $5. But I wonder if they've earmarked the money that comes from that stuff in particular, specifically for, their players and making.
That's what they do in Destiny 2 with Eververse.
Yeah.
AJ, they do. I think a portion of the money that you get from buying the skins in Overwatch goes to the team or the player or something like that. But I think like the Overwatch League is probably the first that I've seen that they're actually trying to follow how the regular sports teams mm-hmm. and leagues go, in a sense. Like, I think they actually do have a salary. They actually have like a minimum $50,000 salary, and I know like you can negotiate your salary. I know one of the player from San Francisco Shocks, he couldn't even play because he's 17, and so he's not yet 18, and he has actually the highest salary in the league with like $150,000. Yeah,
that's insane. That'd be
ridiculous. And here our parents all thought you could never make money playing video games.
Yep,
that's why we're making our team, right?
Yeah.
Nice segue, dude.
That's a nice segue. Well, this is the point in the podcast where we are making our predictions for next year, where the red light ruffians, or whatever we want to be next year, will be the 13th team added to the Overwatch League. So who are you? We got us four in it. Who are, what are you going to guys be playing? Support?
I'll be support or tank, I guess.
I would definitely have to either pick tank or DPS, because I don't pay enough attention to other people to actually. So,
fair.
I am much better at support than I am anything else, but probably not tank. So I'll probably be support or DPS.
All right. Yeah, I could do support tank because I'm pretty good at Reinhardt. I could switch around.
So yeah, I started messing with Moira, and man, do I have fun with that.
Yeah, Moira is one of my favorite, actually.
So
I think all we need to do is at the end of this regular season.
Find a donor.
Yeah, we need to find a donor. We also could, I feel like since this is very similar to regular sports, the way they're going to do it at the end of the season, it has like a draft or.
I want to go to the combine.
Yeah, exactly.
The Overwatch combine.
We're going to wait for all the free agencies to happen, scoop those up, and then let them carry us into the Overwatch League.
Yeah. We might be better off if we just try and like buy players instead of be players.
Oh, so you're suggesting we do the football manager route and manage the team. That'd be interesting.
And then we just have them train us, so that way next season, going into season 3, we can kick them off the team.
All right, so let's set up a Patreon so we can buy an Overwatch team next year.
Yeah, precisely.
We'll find whatever team ends up in last place this year, we'll buy them.
Let's find a town like Green Bay, and let's have the town pay for the team.
Yeah,
Green Bay would be good because they already do like their own, you know, it's owned by the people type dealio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a bad idea.
Hmm.
Look at us.
All right. So we're going to set up the Green Bay Overwatch League. Maybe we can get a
Mr. Bay Cheesehead.
No. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe we can get the
Mr. Kurds.
Maybe we can get Mr. Kennedy from wrestling fame to come back and
manage the team.
Actually. Oh, yes. The Green Bay cheese curd wouldn't be a bad idea because we are the red light milkman.
Holy hell.
Cheese comes from milk.
It does indeed.
All right.
Cheese curd, though, that seems like bad.
They're cheese. Delicious. They're delicious.
And nutritious.
Dude, they fry them. They fry them. They take the cheese curds and they fry them. And you eat them and they're delicious.
You know JT is from the South that he deep fried everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to try to make my own donuts tomorrow.
Nice.
I made donuts yesterday, the day before, something like that. Yesterday, yeah.
Sweet.
Homemade donuts.
Well, all you right. guys heard it here first, folks. Next year, the Overwatch League 2019, Green Bay Cheese Curds, sponsored by Red Light Gaming. All right. Well, a lot of other stuff happened this week.
Really?
A big thing this week, if you follow any person on YouTube who does any sort of technology stuff, CES 2018 was this week. At the time of recording, I believe it's still going on.
No, it just ended.
Was today last day?
I think so.
Today is Sunday for whenever this goes up. So it's the... All right, so it was this week. There was some lot of interesting stuff this week. That was pretty cool. What were some of your thoughts that you, what do you guys think that, was pretty cool?
I love the addition of RGB into everything in my life now. So that was pretty cool. But mine? Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
There was like an RGB chair. Like,
yeah, the Vertigear RGB chair.
Yeah. I'm like, I might have to buy that now. And you know, I'm all about getting a nice, like, office chair, like. I want to get a Herman Miller, but this honestly might just make me not want a Herman Miller and just go RGB everything. So
that would be pretty cool.
Like, think about it. You have your tower and your keyboard and mouse, and now they have RGB mouse pads, and
yeah,
you know, like, just have it all synced together and get some of those whatever those little triangle leaf panel things.
That oh yeah. Up
and sync all of that together, and just, it would be.
I can't wait until I can implant RGB into my skin.
You know, that's probably not that far off, because you see that this was not necessarily a CES thing, but it was also it's now an actual thing you can do. Philips Hue bulbs are now, you can now connect with Razer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they'll connect, if like you have Razer keyboard or something, the lights will go to whatever your keyboard is doing.
I
can see that being obnoxious. So
I might have to try this.
I know. I don't have Razer, so I can't try it out. But if any of you, apparently, according to Linus Tech Tips, that is now a thing that can happen right now. The most recent Razer Synapse update lets you do that.
Oh, my.
Yep.
So that sounds pretty cool. Was there anything else that caught your eye this week, AJ?
Well, there's a whole bunch of new stuff happening with TVs that I think is going to be pretty cool. I know Nestle had something to say about that.
Yeah, I know Nestle want to talk about the TV, so why don't you take it away?
Yeah. Nestle?
Hello?
Hello?
All right, well.
So anyways. So, barring some, you know, miraculous recovery by Nestle. There's a whole bunch of new TVs coming out. And one of the, I think a TV actually won Best in Show for CES this year. And
yes, it was, the LG one, I think, right?
The Wall. Yeah. And it's like a, I don't know if it's 100 inches. Or it's like a massively oversized TV that, you know, nobody really needs, but everyone's going to want. And it's got some pretty cool features. They're calling it like modularity, where you can actually, even though it's this massive screen, you can actually pretty much pick and choose what like where everything is actually being displayed on, if that makes sense. So you, let's say you have a 102-inch TV. I really could figure out what the size of it is, but whatever.
Sorry, Nat just started playing.
So let's say you have like this massive TV, but you want to display something really nice around the edges, maybe to match your, you know, however your house is decorated. So you can actually shrink the display to only be a portion of the actual screen. And then from my understanding, they're going to let you customize what is around the display, which I think is really cool. Like it's about time. Like it kind of reminds me of that Smart House movie from Disney where the entire wall was the TV. And when it wasn't being used for anything, it was just a wall, hence the name, I guess. But
yeah, I just looked this up to correct myself before. It was a Samsung TV. A 146-inch TV.
Yeah. So
holy crap. Yeah, that's huge.
So that's some pretty cool stuff. And then in addition to all of that, some people are saying that TVs, or not TVs, but computers, are going to be taking the place of gaming consoles in terms of what is actually connected to your TV, because a lot of TVs nowadays are starting to connect with G-Sync, NVIDIA. There's going to be a TV that's coming out soon that has the NVIDIA Shield technology baked right in, so you can just connect directly to it, you know.
Yeah, and they call it the BFG.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. I'll let you take this away, Nestle.
Yeah, this is your our resident AMD hater, Nestle Drink, will take us through the NVIDIA TV.
Well, the NVIDIA, I think the CEO Jensen Huang, he got off stage. He talked about a lot of stuff, but the one gaming things that he was talking about was the NVIDIA BFG. Obviously, it's a play on word. But they call it the big format gaming display, BFGD, I believe. And that's a 65-inch monitor or a TV. I don't think it's a TV because technically it doesn't really have a TV tuner. But it has G-Sync technology, which is a variable refresh rate technology by NVIDIA. And it also is a 120Hz refresh rate monitor. And I guess it supports all like the HDR and everything, just like your G-Sync monitor that you use for your PC. And the idea, I think, it's they want to make it easy to hook up your to replace your TV and hook up your computer in your living room with that monitor. And it obviously, like AJ said, it has the Shield TV built in there too, which is, I guess, their they have like a TV box right now. The NVIDIA has a TV box called the Shield TV, which is similar to it's like an Android TV platform pretty much. And I think it's probably the best Android TV that you can buy right now.
Now, whenever Nestle says anything and says it's the best, but it's also about NVIDIA, take it with a grain of salt.
Wow.
are we wrong though?
No, it's like if you're looking to buy an Android TV, NVIDIA Shield is the most powerful Android TV platform out there, really.
True. I mean, I will agree with you on that. I personally use Roku for my streaming needs, which I know is a completely different platform. But because I wanted to ask you one question about the 120Hz on the TV, I put it in quotes. Because I just bought a new TV. It's a TCL 4K, advertised 120Hz. Now, when I looked more into that, it was saying it's more of a, it's not 120, it's like, but it's the like way.
Probably like a fake 120, yeah, like they interpolate fake, that or something.
Yeah, exactly. Is the NVIDIA TV native 120 or is it something like that? I don't know if they probably wouldn't announce if it was fake, but do you think it would be native 120 or interpolated?
Well, we don't know yet. They don't really have a lot of details on that. All we know is that it is a 4K HDR G-Sync and supports 120. But the fact that it has G-Sync on it, think that it's probably legit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming something like this also isn't going to be cheap.
Yeah, I think some Linus said he's expecting 5,000 or more.
Which yeah, exactly. I think the TV that's... I bought was like $300. So it's no way. I'm not trying to compare my TCL TV to the NVIDIA monster.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if they have the VRR, which is the G-Sync, basically, and also they do advertise that the fact that this monitor or TV or whatever the hell you want to call it, it will play video at its native 24 hertz. Ooh. And some movies, for example, like The Hobbit, that plays at 48, it will actually play at that exact frame rate.
Nice.
So the fact like that, it kind of makes me feel like it might actually be a 120, like it's yeah. like a real 120. But the one caveat of that is that just like other TVs, the technology that they use is not IPS, which is the I guess, you know, most monitor uses IPS because it has the best color reproduction, best viewing angle and all that stuff. But this BFGD is gonna, the NVIDIA TV or whatever, it's gonna be using a VA panel, which is kind of prone to a ghosting effect, which is that kind of makes me feel a little iffy about that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It'll be definitely interesting to see when that comes out.
Yeah, they said it'll come out in the summer, I believe.
Yeah, so I'm sure we'll know more about that as it gets closer to release date. Speaking of monitors, actually, MSI has a new monitor coming out that caught my eye. Going off the RGB everything, it was either 4K or 140. I think it was 1440p, 144 hertz, like typical, really nice monitor. But also had these 5 RGB strips on the bottom of the monitor, and they had they were connected with the games. So the demo they were doing was they had like the left side being your health. So it'd be like red. The middle one was white and the right one was yellow or whatever. And as you got shot, the demo they were doing was CSGO. As you got shot, the red strips started going down to represent your health going down. And when you died, like they all flashed. And the middle one was tracking your headshots you got. So it's connected with CSGO to give you like real-time responses in game, which was pretty cool, and also connected with like any other RGB platform you might have to like go with your color scheme if you don't want to use the game. I forget what they called it, but like the game sense or whatever they're calling it now, which like that's one of the more useful ways of RGB I've seen. Because
I could see it being useful, but I can also see it being very distracting. Like,
oh yeah,
it's not something that I highly doubt any CSGO pro would actually ever get that. You know,
I don't think so. Just because of
what it would actually like. It who knows if it's going to introduce any sort of lag to the game and all that nonsense.
Exactly. It's a cool concept.
Yeah,
I think that's definitely more what it was.
Definitely a concern thing.
Yeah, that was one of many RGB things they had.
Yeah.
If you go into the HyperX booth, had a lot of RGB products as well. They had an RGB SSD, which
why the hell do you need RGB SSD?
I don't know. There was also RGB cable combs. I forget who had them, but they were basically 3D printed plastic that had a like SATA cable attached to it that added another cable that was supposed to prevent the cables from getting cluttered.
Yeah, I use the cable comb for my build, but I don't ever think.
Yeah, now imagine that with another cable going down from it. Now it did look really cool. It's iBuy Power. That's who it was. So it was in there like one of their pre-builds they had on display. Now, at least iBuy Power, their pre-built is like a little different than just getting parts thrown into a case.
Mm-hmm.
Their builds actually look pretty cool. I mean, but in the video, like, you can't really, it could have been the video, but you can't really see the RGB through the cables because they're cables and they're solid.
Yeah, right.
I guess if you use white cables, it could look really cool, but like, I personally don't think that's useful. And I say this with an RGB keyboard, with RGB lights in my computer, everything. Like, I like RGB. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
I personally would not go for RTP Cablecom.
Definitely no. not. That's no. kind of like the line to me.
Yeah. We're getting closer and closer to RGB butt plug.
It would be pretty cool to see like the actual cable wraps themselves be RGB. So like
see that one makes sense.
Cable, you just get a colored cable wrap.
That would be cool.
Or an RGB wrap rather. Yeah, I think that would be pretty sweet. Not entirely sure how like feasible that is, because you don't, I mean, think about it, you don't got to worry about power since it's literally plugging directly into the power.
Exactly. I don't know how they would incorporate that, but it could be, it seems possible.
Well, you know, you remember those little, what were they? They were like those little LED flower thingies where, or the fiber optic flowers where only like you'd have a semi opaque like piece of filament or whatever, but only the end would
Yeah.
Grow. If you could just do that, but wrap it tight and go around the whole cable, maybe.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Well, we'll see. We'll see what CES 2019 has.
Yeah.
And where they're representing our Overwatch team.
Yep. We should start applying for press passes now.
Oh, right? Definitely. I still have my high school press pass. Maybe I can get in with that.
There you go.
One thing to more useful things, one thing I'm really excited about is also in the HyperX booth. So I'm currently using the HyperX Cloud headset, which I love. I think it's really good. It sounds great. The mic is pretty decent. Not the one, this isn't the mic I'm using now, but it sounds pretty good from what I'm using normally. They're making a wireless version of that headset, which I am really excited for. Price kind of steeper than I would hope. It's $160. But if it's as good as the current headset is now for wireless, that could be, I could see that come being really useful, and that's supposed to come out end of January.
So I'm pretty excited about that. I think HyperX headset is one of like the better kind of like a, you know, quote unquote gaming headset out there.
Yeah. Oh, it really
they
is.
Have, they have actually like good microphone and you know, actually good sounding cans.
Yeah, exactly. It's what I'm using right now. Listen to all you. They're it's pretty comfortable. It gets a little uncomfortable after a while, but I could see I've been wanting a wireless headset because I have so many wires on my desk now, so I would love a wireless one. And if I get one by HyperX, so I could see myself actually going for that one later.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Speaking of wireless, Corsair is finally releasing a wireless mouse.
Is this one of those, like, is it going to be low latency enough for gaming?
Yeah, in the video, they were saying it was 1 millisecond latency. Not sure. We'll have to see like when it actually is released, when how true that is. But if it's anything like Logitech's was, I'm sure it's good because I know the Logitech wireless mouse, the new one, is fantastic.
That's what I use right now, and it absolutely is. So no, like it feels like a wired. I mean, it feels as good as a wired mouse as far as latency goes.
Didn't Corsair also release a wireless mechanical keyboard this year?
Yep, that was what I was going for next. You got it. So it seems like they're taking steps out of Logitech's book, who also released a wireless mechanical keyboard this year. So it could be wires going to start going away, which would be really cool to see when that finally happens. But yeah, wireless mechanical keyboard and wireless mouse from Corsair. Those would be pretty sweet.
I was watching a video also from Niners Tech Tips who happened to be at CES when he made this, but there's a, I think it was Razer who put it out, but they're coming out with a mouse and mouse pad combination where the mouse has no batteries in it, so it's extremely light, and it literally is powered through the mouse pad itself. And it's to the point where like if you were to take the mouse off the mouse pad, it would stop working if you took it off, you know, within x amount of seconds before putting it back on, because it runs off of capacitors. So it has it has some charge to it, but it's not enough to actually do anything for a long period of time. And I thought that was pretty cool.
That sounds really cool. That's basically how the Logitech PowerPlay Matt works, right?
That's what I'm using.
Yeah, yes. JT, you have that, right?
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. It's basically, I mean, it's a standard wireless mouse. You know, if I take it off the pad, it's still working because it's got onboard batteries. It's a little heavier than a G502. I think G502 without any weight is pretty good.
That's impressive because I'm having a G502 right now, and it's pretty hefty.
Yeah, it's slightly heavier than that. I don't want to say it's super heavy. I mean, I don't find it heavy at all. I mean, it feels quite light compared to some of the heavier mice I've used, like Corsair's MMO mouse is a bit heavier, or at least it feels slower or something. I don't know. But this is it's very fast, very light, very nimble, I guess. And it just has a really nice feel. If you're into the 502, it's very, very close. Nice.
Yeah, I actually have the 502, and I think this kind of intrigues me now.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested. I love my 502, don't get me wrong.
I
need something better to upgrade.
I was very anxious going to the 903, but it feels very similar.
Cool. That's good to know.
Yeah. But it the price tag's a bit high, so
yeah, that's what's keeping me from it right now.
Yeah, go out to like a Best Buy or something and see if you can feel it first before you step in. It's the same but different.
Okay. And then order it on Amazon.
Exactly.
Yes. Using Best Buy one of our Amazon affiliate links.
Oh yeah, we do have those. I think actually.
There we go.
I open up Chrome and CoolMat69's jersey still up there.
Oh my lord.
So JT, I'm looking at your notes and I see there's something called Project Linda. What is that? What is Project Linda?
You know, it's from my why, or you know, I don't understand this. So it's a dock for the Razer phone.
Oh yeah.
It's, you know, it's a 13.3 laptop. That's basically a dock for the Razer phone, which admittedly seems like it's an actually good piece of hardware. Everyone seems to be fairly impressed by the Razer phone, but I'm kind of confused. The game they're showing off is Vainglory, and I think that's a mobile game. I'm not sure.
It is a mobile, like a mobile MOBA. Yeah.
Yeah, a mobile MOBA. Wow, that sounds fun. So, you know, they're showing that off, and I'm wondering what's the point of this? Like, if it could do Windows or something like that, where I could actually play some real games, you know, this might be a cool prospect. But the only other thing I can think, maybe they're teaming up with NVIDIA and doing the cloud-based gaming thing, which then this becomes a really cool value proposition. You know, you get the Razer phone, you get the Razer phone dock, the Linda dock, and then you can basically play all the PC games with NVIDIA's cloud service. That would be amazing. I don't know if that's what they're doing, but
I feel like that's kind of like adding steps in between where you can just do the GeForce Now. I think that's what you're referring to.
GeForce Now.
Yeah, because you can just do that straight up from like any computer and Mac. So any PCs or Windows PC or Mac. So it's kind of, you know.
So I think they're trying to push the Razer phone, which, you know, they probably put a bunch of R&D and they bought what was the phone company? Nextbit, that's right. So they're probably trying to make that a revenue source. I don't know.
So now I kind of debated you right there because I knew what Project Linda was.
I know.
But so I'm actually really interested in this. I currently use an iPhone. I'm pretty sure with my next update, I'm going back to Android. And one of the phones that I'm heavily looking at, it happens to be the Razer phone. And when I saw this Project Linda thing, it really intrigued me because, you know, you use the phone as a trackpad, which I think is brilliant. And it also doubles as a second monitor for something, which is also brilliant. But the way I think I don't know if this is how they're marketing it or not, but the way I think it's going to be used most likely is by people like journalists or students who don't want to, you know, pack up the extra weight of, you know, another device that has like, who knows what kind of anything. And, you know, it's one of those things where like, okay, I'm at the convention. I just sat down at, you know, a press conference or whatever, let's pull this thing out of the backpack, slot the phone in, it charges your phone. So, you know, you're getting a charge in your phone again. And, you know, I don't know. I think it's going to be useful for people like that who want to travel light and maybe not carry as many things around. Obviously, it you know, you still have to carry the form factor of a laptop with you. So it's not completely negating all of it. But I could see it being useful for that kind of.
That's kind of where I go sideways with the thing, because Razer's already catering to a kind of niche customer base, and in this product seems like a niche of the niche. Like if I were a business guy, I would kind of say, but why? You know, like the phone, mm-hmm. It's great. Admitted, you know, I'll admit that Razer phone is getting really good reviews, but I mean, I can see a subset of people needing something like that, but outside of like a regular laptop, I don't see the value there.
Yeah, I think it all depends on the price. Because if it's like, you know, something where you're paying, I don't know, $200 and you get something with a probably nicer monitor than your average Chromebook, which is probably all you'll get for something in that price point. And you know, you're essentially getting an external battery pack for your phone. If it's something like that, I could see it doing really well. But if they're gonna try and charge like premium full laptop price for,
this is Razer. They like to. They love to do that.
Yeah,
even the CEO admitted, like every time people there's a new Razer thing came out, like people are expecting to pay arms and legs.
Mm-hmm. And like I could see that, but if this is just going to be something where there's literally there's no actual operating system, you know, it's like it's not a real computer. So if they expect me to pay like real computer pricing for that, they're out of their mind.
Yeah, I'm with you there. But yeah, I agree. I mean, there are uses for it, but I'm curious to see what actually, you know, if it's an add-on to the phone or if the phone actually powers the thing. That would be really good to know.
From my understanding, it has an internal battery, but it like
I'm talking like CPU. Like, is the phone acting as the brains, or does it have some extra juice? You know.
Oh yeah, when I wonder,
yeah.
I think when I saw it in video, it doesn't do anything until the phone is actually plugged in. Like, I don't think it has anything in it. It's literally just like a dock with a screen and keyboard.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, I could be wrong. There's not that many details out that I've seen. So we'll have to wait and see.
Well, but even if it is powered by the phone, I mean, that's the specs on that Razer phone are ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. It's like what, a 4,000 milliamp hour battery.
Yeah. There's some crazy stuff in there. 4 or 8 gigs of RAM or 4 gigs or something. I want to say it's 8 because it was a lot.
It is 8.
Yeah, that's nuts in a phone. That's like, what I've got in my desktop right now.
Yeah, that's like barely the standard in business class, you know, computers. So,
yeah, but that was definitely my thing from CES. Easy.
All right. Anyone else have any CES news?
Yeah, I have a couple. One of them is I don't normally go, like, I like to build my own computer. Mm-hmm. And just, I think it's fun, you know, you can kind of customize everything. And
yeah.
And I think the development, like, and I'm also an enthusiast of a small form factor case. Actually today I just got, I'm using an ITX case called the N-Case M1. It's a Kickstarter project from a couple years ago, and it's a great case. But, today I actually just placed an order for another small form factor case called Ghost S1. It's tiny. It's, I believe it's like a 7 liter in volume, and it's pretty cool. But at CES, Digital Storm, which is like an OEM, it's like a boutique OEM, just like just like Origin PC and all these other guys. They actually launched this. They announced this new product called the Sparks. It's a super small case, a super small computer. It's based off a mini STX form factor instead of ITX. So, and they use like a mobile GPU chip instead of like a full-fledged desktop GPU that you could plug in into like a PCIe slot. There's no PCIe slot in a mini STX form factor. So they have to use like this MXM GPU, I believe, which is basically the same GPU that laptops are using. You have to kind of hook it up to the, you have to solder it to the motherboard, I believe. But this is a super small case. It has full hard line water cooling. Linus covered it, and when you kind of look at him, like, you know, grabbing the case, it fits kind of, it's barely bigger than both of his hand combined. It's nuts, and I believe it's gonna start at like $1,200 with the GTX 1060 configuration, and goes above that for you know, whatever. And they have the 1080 configuration, so it's like as powerful as my computer, except it has like a whole, you know, hardline water cooling, and it just looks crazy. Looks really nice.
Nice.
Yeah, that should be. I do think there is a market for pre-built PCs. Like I mentioned before, with iBuyPower, with the stupid RGB cable combs, yep. The computer they were in looked phenomenal. And I know they were, iBuyPower was the company last year that had the, like the cool case with the monitor outside the case, like you get the cool designs and stuff on. Stuff like that was really cool. Oh, Nestle just posted a picture that looks pretty sweet, actually. yeah, so like iBuyPower had these all creative things that you can't really get individually, which is kind of their way of getting you to buy their computers. But especially like now that computer hardware, especially with the RAM shortage right now and how all the mining are making GPU prices so high, pre-built PCs are actually looking to be like a pretty good value right now.
Yeah, funny enough, right?
Yeah, right? Because you're getting the GPU for the same price as what the market value is, instead of trying to pay it the inflated prices that are right now.
Yeah, like, and I'll say some of those pre-built are using, you know, enthusiast motherboards.
Exactly.
This is a very valid point.
Yeah, because my first computer when I got into PC gaming was a like Asus workstation. It was meant for like office grade stuff that I got off Newegg for like $600 or something.
Yeah.
And at the time I was like, this is only like 4 years ago, so it wasn't even that long ago. But I was like, oh, like an i7, 16 gigs of RAM, has an NVIDIA card. That should be good. Now, what I didn't know was that it was the lowest rank of i7s, a GTX 630, and 16 gigs of like 700 megahertz RAM, so really slow. So I was basically only having like 8 gigs, maybe at most. But it was great. Like, it was good for what it lasted. And then I got more into it. So then I put the 970 in, but I still had like that shitty motherboard that came with the basic like Asus workstation. Now I've upgraded. Now I have a great computer. But yeah, you definitely, but now the companies like Digital Storm and iBuyPower, CyberPower PC is the other one. Like, all those big ones are using like really good motherboards, really good RAM, like high quality stuff. So not really cheaping out. So you actually are getting what you pay for in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
You do pay the fee to get like it built and everything, but you also are getting everything's guaranteed to work. You get Windows installed already, which like people forget about the Windows installation when they build a computer. That could be like $100.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like using the GPU pricing and everything, that's everything's going on right now.
Yeah, definitely, like with that double whammy of GPU inflation due to mining and the RAM price increase due to the DRAM collusion between the four main guys of that makes DRAM. I mean, I think you made a very valid point. Like these PCs are pretty competitive now. Because if you're just building your own PC, you still have to play this crazy inflated price.
Exactly. Because I probably just spent, I don't know, probably close to $1,000 to upgrade my computer. Like, I have a GTX 1080. I got a new motherboard, new CPU, new RAM, new case. I didn't get a new power supply or hard drives. I already had those. But like looking back on it, there was a computer on Amazon that was posted on Reddit like that day with the GTX 1080, like same everything. and everything already put together for like $1,200. So I would have paid like a couple hundred to get the like fee of building it basically. But with Prime shipping, it would have come in 2 days.
Right. So, yeah.
I don't know. If you're looking into getting to PC gaming right now and you want a computer right now, pre-built is starting to look like the way to go. So if anyone's listening who's interested, I would take, I know people on Reddit might scare you off from that, but I would take a look at it before you decide.
Yeah, or at least price everything out that
exactly,
you know, you would get building your own versus one of these, because you know you're probably going to get a better deal on the pre-built, and it's the, you know, the quality is going to be there as well. So yeah,
exactly. Just be easier. Like, I build computers a lot, but it's still a pain to do.
Yep,
it takes forever.
Yeah, and the GPU prices, it's really crazy too.
It's now. Insane.
And it's not just AMD. And actually, in the last week or so, people has been seeing how even 1080 Ti is going out of stock. And people are like, who the hell are buying this? And so there are rumors that, you know, like, I guess the manufacturers and NVIDIA are ramping down Pascal and trying to, like, you know, get the new line of GPU, which is Volta, up and running. But I don't think Volta is coming out anytime soon. Maybe a little bit later in the year, but definitely, you know, the stock shouldn't be ramping down now, you know, in January 2018. And people are just saying like, oh, maybe the miners are buying them. Like, but this is a $700 GPU. Like, if a miner like buying 10 of these, you know, they spend $7,000, like, where the hell is the return? You know, like, that's crazy.
Exactly.
Like, what kind of thing are you mining right now? But hey, they know better than I do. I just trade the coins, but you know, I don't really mind.
Exactly. Like, my original idea was to get a GTX 1070.
But the price is the same.
Exactly. The price is the same as 1080. So I might as well just go get the 1080.
You know, like, you're actually probably the one of, like, you get like the last batch of 1080 at normal price, because if you look at 1080 and 1080 Ti right now, it's ridiculous.
I know. If I waited long enough, probably could get a 1080 Ti for the same price as 1080.
No, because everything is like $800.
I know. Now. I'm glad I got it when I did. It was right around $500 when I got it. So I'm still obviously a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. It definitely hurt to spend that. But it was, like, when a 1070 was $514, I think, and the 1080 was maybe like $520. Like, at that point, when you're already paying that much money, at that point, a couple dollars isn't that much more.
Right. Yeah, and then you might as well just go for that, yeah.
Exactly. So now I got a great 1080. And now my computer barely turns on fans anymore, which is awesome.
Jensen approve. Jensen is the CEO of NVIDIA.
I know. All right. Another big thing that happened this week. We had the Destiny 2 update, which I think we all kind of feel the same about this. A lot of like, ugh.
I mean, there's some good stuff in there. It's just, you know, fall of 2018, like,
yeah, really? A lot of it was too little too late as well.
Yeah.
Yep. That's my thought. It's like, why now? Why didn't you do this at launch?
Exactly. And they hyped this update up like they were going to be giving us, you know, oh, you're going to love us forever. But really what they gave us was, you know, kinda, like, there wasn't anything that really stood out to me like, oh yeah, this is going to fix everything. Like, masterwork on armor. Okay.
And the masterwork on armor, instead of giving more orbs, like masterwork on weapon, it's just going to like reduce damage dealt to you during your supers. Like, that's like the same perks as the Skull of Dire Ahamkara for Warlock. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Sorry.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. It's also hurts because this, like, I says before, I didn't play Destiny 1. I'm not really into it that much, but excuse me. Red Light was started as based around this game. We got the idea from Milkmen because of the Vex Milk and a lot of the fun jokes we had during the beta. I got into the game because other people do, like, because you guys were, and people on the rest of the clan were into it. And I know I'm not alone in that either. Destiny 2 is a very hyped up game. And it was really fun, but like once you, I feel once I beat the game and we did the raid and we did kind of everything once, I was kind of done.
Well, it's very shallow. I mean, there's no depth to the end game. Once you've experienced everything once, I mean, what are you really going after? I mean, there's not that loot that you can say, oh, if I do this, you know, 20 more times, I might have a shot at this cool thing I'm going after. But there's a twofold problem here. I mean, there's no chase, which is, I think, problem number one. There's nothing at the end. But then the rewards are just garbage. We don't have rolls on weapons. We don't have, everything's the same. There's nothing to look forward to. The loot, you know, for this to be a looter shooter, the loot is just bad.
Yeah, there's part of what I liked about Destiny 1 was having to go, you know, you were always in search of that one different modifier. And now it's like, if you get a weapon, it's going to be the same every time you get it, with the exception of Masterworks. But in that case, it's one of two, you know, different modifiers. And I that's just a shame to me, because it was such a good, like, it's such a cool thing, but now it pretty much just been turned into nothing, you know?
I mean, technically, the game plays very well. It's very fun. It feels great. Everything about it is decent, you know, but it's just the end game. There is none.
I think to add to AJ's point earlier, it's to me, it's not just it's not about like it's not about like the god roll, so to speak, right, from Destiny 1, because, you know, even if you have that, like a random roll, you still, once you get that god roll, you'll probably, you know, you're like, okay, I'm good now. But I think like the more so the problem is like every other perks in this game that is not like explosive payload or and, you know, just like the not the meta weapons, like not the meta perks or the meta like a kind of weapon, it just sucks.
Well, yeah, a lot of that stuff is useless if you don't have explosive payload or high caliber rounds,
right?
I mean, it's garbage. So you see everyone running around with better devils and
it's all the same
outlook. Yeah.
And the saddest part is in looter shooters, you know, what you want is, or in loot's game or in MMO, you know, what you want, it's like the loots that you get, it's either like it helps you, or you can kind of think like, oh, I'm going to use this for something else. But most of the time, once you have like your core set of weapons in Destiny 2, you literally will shard every single loot. Like, my girlfriend was here this month, and then I when I was playing Destiny 2 earlier in the month, I got like a bunch of loots from after Heroic Strikes or, you know, Crucible, and I literally was sharding every single one. I'm like, oh yeah, I told her, I'm like, I'm not even looking at the loot anymore, because I'm just gonna shard everything, because I got everything I needed and I wanted. I got like my core set of weapon, you know, I have my Better Devils, Nameless Midnight, and all those, you know, positive outlook. Once I got those, like, I don't really curtain call, like, I don't need anything else.
Yeah. It's just sad.
It is sad. I mean, you play PvP and something I like, you know, if I get killed, I'm like, oh, what did I get killed with? And it's always without fail, either a Better Devils or a Uriel's Gift or a positive outlook. I mean, there's no variation.
And it's, everyone, you know, uses the same weapon.
I mean, I would love to see someone in Crucible like using some kind of random pulse rifle or something and just cleaning house. And I'd be like, what in the heck was that guy doing? And then, you know, I have to go get this thing and try it out. There's none of that in this. There's just none. It's kind of cheap.
Yeah, it's shallow, like you said. And I think I honestly, at this point, also the experience in general of getting loots, to me, it's not really, I think I pretty much echo like some other, other YouTubers also say the same thing that I've watched previously, that when you get your loots from Ingrams, there's really no, like, nothing that you can go back to. Because I think in Destiny 1, I don't really play much Destiny 1, but I play a lot of MMOs, right? So in MMO, you get the loot after you kill the boss, right? Most of the time. So right after you kill the boss, you're kind of like, oh man, I remember I just killed Archimon or whatever, and I got this loot. Whereas in this, like, oh yeah, I just I got my loot in front of fucking Rahul. So, you know, like,
yeah. There's no the sense of accomplishment.
The other thing that bothers me is how they refer to it as an MMO in general. Like, it is not an MMO. Like, no, it is
absolutely not.
It's not even an MMO in name of, like, just being massively multiplayer online. It at most, you have 8 people ever in a thing. Pretty soon, it's going to go up to 12 because they're putting 6v6 in. It's like, that is a standard, that, like, that's Call of Duty. You know,
well, even in the open world, I think you're limited to 23 people in any instance of any open world area. I mean, you'll go through an area and then technically zone into an area. You might be following some guy who's not in your group or something. He just disappears. He goes away. He's gone.
Yep. And it can't, I don't believe a thing can be called an MMO if there's absolutely no way to communicate with people. Yeah, and no. they're adding it, but they're only adding it to the tower. Like, so
that, and it's that, not coming till like fall again, right?
No, yeah, the tower chat comes in February, I believe.
Oh, good. Cancer then.
Yeah, so
we don't have very long to wait.
And I think the guild or the clan chat is the one in the fall, I believe.
Yeah, that's the one I think is more important, actually. Than
yeah, that one's not very useful.
Sorry, the clan chat is spring.
Oh, spring, of course.
Okay.
So you never know. It could be in
it's going to be like the day before summer.
Yeah. It'll be in May.
Yeah.
It'll be like AMD when they released Vega. They said first half, and then they released like a barely card, like a real card at on the very last day in July, or June, rather. And, you know.
Everything goes back to AMD with you, doesn't it?
Yep.
No, I'm just giving an example of a poorly executed launch, and that is AMD Radeon Vega.
No, to be fair, that was a catastrophic launch.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
You're not wrong.
I mean, the guy got fired for that.
Yeah, like you're completely right. It's like that was like the No Man's Skies of graphics card launches.
Which apparently No Man's Sky is in a fairly good place now.
I've heard, but
I'm really surprised that people said it's been really good, and that and the Division with the latest patch 1.8 has been like I guess the darling of the internet now.
I mean, I personally love playing the Division. I thought everything about that game was fun except for the Dark Zone. So I just don't go into the Dark Zone. You see how that works in that? You don't like something, you don't do it.
Don't do it.
But AJ, that requires thought, and complaining is easier.
That's true. How could I ever forget that it's just easier to complain? But
the other thing with Bungie and Destiny 2, they're adding the private PvP games, which is cool and everything. But now it was also probably poor timing that it came out like during the whole Overwatch League thing. And the fact that it was announced like through Battle.net as well. But that also just seems like Bungie is trying to get in on all the esports hype that's happening right now with Destiny 2.
No, Destiny 2 should never be an esport.
It's not a good game for an esport.
No, not at all.
But people are going to try making it one. And well, of course, Bungie's probably going to push it. But yeah. Destiny 2 is not a good game for an esport. And maybe I could be wrong.
No, but it's never. I don't. There's not enough variation. You have 6 possible things like that you can use. Well, okay. Yeah, so each. I guess technically you have 9, 18 total permutations of classes that you can use, depending on if you go, you know, like Titan, if you go upper path or lower path, and then which of the 3 specs you actually choose. But there's just not at all a variation in that game. Like, if you're gonna make Destiny 2 some sort of PvP thing, you might as well just make everyone start out with the same thing. And
well, it's not even exciting to watch. I mean, it's turned into this cluster mess of team shooting. I mean, that's really all it is. Like, no one's making big plays. No one's really standing out. It's just boring to watch. I mean, it's okay to play. I mean, I wouldn't say it's extremely fun to play, but I mean, watching. I mean, look at Twitch. I haven't seen Destiny in the top 10 for weeks.
Yeah,
I mean, exactly. It's on like every console out there. And Twitch, I think, is a very good I don't know, bellwether barometer, to see how well a game is generally doing. I mean, that's the whole point of Twitch, you know, watch someone playing a game, but the big guys are playing Fortnite. The big guys are playing PUBG, you know, it's kind of,
that's the next esports.
Yeah.
Fortnite.
PUBG.
I feel like Fortnite is, in my personal opinion, I like Fortnite.
Yeah, I think Fortnite might be a little better than PUBG, at least.
Well, Fortnite's also a completed game technically, right?
It's not complete yet. It's still in, I don't know if it's like an alpha or beta, but it's not done yet. That being said, I think it like the netcode behind the game much better. I've never experienced any sort of desynchronization or any real noticeable lag playing Fortnite like I have with PUBG, where I'm suddenly dead and it turns out the guy was shooting me like 5 seconds ago.
That also could be the guy is cheating because PUBG is rampant now.
Yeah, they have a cheaters. Lot of that.
Yeah, well, now it is. I also think that the whole building aspect of PUBG is amazing. Like that's something completely unique to that style
Fortnite,
of game.
Fortnite,
you mean?
Yeah. My bad. Sorry. But
I love watching dudes build like big ramps up into the sky and then just lay waste. That is pretty cool.
That's fun to watch. Like, I've never played any of those games, but they are pretty entertaining to watch.
You know, yeah. I've never played PUBG. I've never played Fortnite, but I've watched an awful lot, if that says anything.
Yeah, no, those games could be cool to watch. Like, PUBG has like what, a couple hundred something people that can be in a game at once.
Yep, it starts at 100.
Can you imagine like the arena, like the Blizzard Arena, but there's 100 gamers on stage, all playing PUBG.
Yeah,
that is more entertaining than watching them playing Destiny 2.
It would be.
It is, yeah.
Destiny 2, you know, they make the game so slow. So that's, I know.
On Destiny's, JT got me curious. So I went on the Twitch. I'm on Twitch as of.
Holy crap. Destiny's like almost at the bottom
7:42 p.m., January 14th. Destiny 2 is on the second page of the Twitch games.
Wow.
It currently has 3,644 viewers. RuneScape is above it.
Dark Souls 1 is above it. Yeah.
Let's see. What are other?
Wow.
RuneScape's above it. Creative's above it.
Anime. Generic anime.
Yeah. Well, Twitch does have pokers on here, but that's kind of a. Twitch is streaming not the World Series of Poker, but something like that.
So Fortnite is up there, but Fortnite Battle Royale, which is probably just Fortnite as well, Fortnite has two spots up there.
Yeah, really? So
and nobody Fortnite, plays a regular Fortnite, probably, right?
Yeah, Fortnite is also a single-player game, or not single-player, but it has like an actual campaign, which is what I prefer playing. I think it's a lot of fun. You still get the building aspect of it, and you know, like there's actual quests and things to do. But then there's Fortnite Battle Royale, which is the BR game where 100 people go in, one person comes out, unless you're playing teams, blah, blah, blah. So, but yeah, like I love the building aspect to me is what makes Fortnite as good as it is, because one of my favorite streamers to watch is Ninja. And the way that guy goes about just like building stuff into the sky, he'll like in Fortnite, one of the items you can build is a trap, like just traps in general, wall traps, ceiling traps, floor traps, whatever. He will purposely find somebody, build around them to trap them, and then put a trap in there and kill them that way. Because that's just like he's so good at the game, it's what he can do. And it's just amazing to see how fast he's able to go about doing things like that. And when he has played with a squad or, you know, a competitive group, it's something pretty special to watch, because usually he picks people that are, you know, close to him in skill, and it's just crazy watching them do.
Nice. Well, we'll see. I think 2018 is going to be the year of esports. There's going to be a lot of growth in certain games. We'll see some big games start to drop. I know League of Legends started to have a decline in viewers the past couple years. Not too much, but it's definitely going down a little bit.
I think 2018 is going to be, I think we're going to see a huge rise in stream viewership. I think esports is going to play a role in that, but
I think
in general, you're going to find people that are, you know, tuning into these esports and saying, oh, this is kind of cool. And then they start exploring some of these different streaming communities. And I think streaming is going to kind of start to grow much more quickly than it has in the past.
I think Overwatch League is going to be broadcast on cable television this year.
No, I think Twitch has an exclusive license for 3 years, I believe.
Yeah, so it'll be on Twitch for the next.
They're also on MLG. Right. Also streams it too.
All right.
Well, MLG streams it using the Twitch player.
Oh, is that what it is now?
Yeah.
I don't know. I still wouldn't be surprised, or at least if it's covered.
Yeah, like, it's definitely going to be picked up by.
Oh no, ESPN has articles about Overwatch League. I think they actually before the league starts, they have a page on the esports section where they're ranking the Overwatch teams, Leech teams, basically based on like their power ranking kind of deal.
Well, I remember last year watching Evo on ESPN.
Right, I do remember that. That was so.
I mean,
cool.
that was already there. I mean, it wasn't exactly live, but well, some segments were. I think.
Yeah, something. The Smash tournament was live.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot. You know, that's about as mainstream into the sports world as you can get.
Oh no, Dota TI is on ESPN too, and also Heroes of the Storm, I believe, was also on ESPN 2 a couple times. I think they showed the Heroes of the Dorm or something, which is
Heroes of the Dorm
tournament. Yeah,
that was sponsored by ESPN, right?
I believe so. I'm not sure, but
it was sponsored by something like big like that. Yeah, that was, and like that there, college esports, that could be a thing.
Mm-hmm. No, it already is. I mean,
I know
colleges are giving out scholarships and
things. I know. I think that could be I tried looking to see if there's an Overwatch team for my grad school. There's not. So American International College. Well, I go there only in, I go to a satellite campus. But hey, if anyone's listening to this from American International College, you want to start an Overwatch team, hit me up. Right? We'll make one.
Yeah, and you have to remember, like, when gamers started playing video games or kind of getting into video games, right, from these streams, they normally, they get in pairs because one person would be streaming or playing this, and then there's another person joins that other, their friends to do that, too. So it's always going to be like this, you're not going to add, like, just one person at a time. It's probably like there's multiple people at once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely going to be, there's going to be some big things this year, I think. So it'll be really cool to see how they play out.
I agree.
So speaking of streaming and Twitch, how about the Awesome Game 10 Quick Marathon?
Yes.
That was amazing.
That was really cool.
If you haven't watched the Bloodborne playthrough, just go find it.
I'm going to be watching that tonight. As soon as we're done this, I'm going to pop it on my TV and with some popcorn and watch that whole thing.
It's very good.
Yeah, so the people who produce that, and especially the people that, you know, actually run through the game, I can't even describe how awed I was by how good they are at these games. Like, I watched the man play through Halo 5 on Legendary solo in, like, an hour.
Something. Yeah. It's incredible.
Granted, he was using a lot of skips and...
Yeah, but still.
All that stuff, but it's, like, the fact that he put that much time into it, to, like, even when it came to points where he needed to be skillful, the guy was still really good. Like, he knew where everything was spawning, he was still able to hit his shot to, you know, one-shot kill stuff, and it was just, it was great. But like JT said, there's people who were playing Bloodborne. That was also a really good one.
Dark Souls 3 run was quite good. I know I'm a bit partial to the Soulsborne games, but the Dark Souls 3 with the blind...
Yes.
Oh my god. Some of the blindfold stuff they pulled off just made me kind of say, wow, I thought I was kind of good, but no, I'm not.
Yeah. Well, the really cool thing about speedrunning in general, and like obviously For those of you who don't know, Awesome Games Done Quick is a charity thing. Happens at least once a year. They usually do a summer one too, where they have a giant several day long event where they have speed running exhibitions, and it's a whole fundraising thing. They pick a different charity. This year was for a cancer charity. I can't remember which one off the top of my head, but it was for fighting cancer. They raised over. I was able to catch a little bit of it this year.
They broke the $2 million mark.
It was $2 million? Awesome. So they raised millions of dollars for charity each year, which is really cool. So it's just always a really fun charity event. But I was watching one, I want to say a year or two ago. I was back from college hanging out at my parents' house. So this must have been more than 2 years ago. And I had it on the TV, and I was into it. I was watching it, and I think it was like one of the Mario games. And my parents come in, like, they don't have any interest in video games or whatever, but they're at first like, "Oh, what are you doing?" And I was explained that it was like a charity thing. My parents actually like got really into it. It's like they all sat down, we watched Awesome Games Done Quick for like an hour, and it was just like a really cool experience. Like, even though they didn't really have any idea what was going on, the commentary for it was really funny. They like the couch guys in the back, giving like hyping the guy up. I think it was they watched a Mario one that it went to a Majora's Mask one, and the guy on the couch, every time like something big happened, he would stand up and like run around the crowd getting everyone hyped up. So my parents liked that. So it's always a cool thing to like, you know, see how a event like this, it's definitely geared towards gamers, but it's a cool thing that a lot of other people can enjoy as well.
I think my favorite part about the Games Done Quick series is that they don't limit it to like modern games. They're games that people are currently playing. Like you said, they were playing Mario. There's usually like a Castlevania run at some point. Mm-hmm. It's just like all these old games. So that is what makes it, you know, so watchable. Might not more is that it brings back games from like their childhood and things of that nature, and that's pretty cool.
Oh, exactly. It was the Prevent Cancer Foundation was the charity they supported this year, and they had like a lot of really cool sponsors for it. Twitch was a big sponsor. Donations was a really cool event. They had like a, and what you were saying, the modern games, they had Breath of the Wild speedrun. They had Skyrim speedrun.
I think they ended with Breath of the Wild, didn't they?
Yeah, they did it in all Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, all main quests with no amiibo on the Switch, done in 3 hours and 57 minutes.
So for a Breath of the Wild noob, because I don't own a Switch or a Wii to actually play it, what does the amiibo actually do for you?
It gives you loot, right?
Like, yeah, it gives you
like
loot.
Some OP stuff.
One of them in particular gives you one of the tricks. I can't remember off the top of my head. One of the tricks does give you, the Link amiibo gives you a Panna, the horse from Zelda.
Oh, okay.
There's also, crap. I can't remember off the top of my head, and people who are speedrunning fans are going to hate me for this, but I don't remember what it is. There's a big one where one of the amiibos is like, I guess, a speedrunning strat. Now, I don't speedrun at all, but so I don't entirely understand it, but one of the amiibos gives you an item that helps in speedrunning Breath of the Wild, so I guess you're not supposed to use that in this one. But all I know is to get to beat the game of Breath of the Wild, and I obviously did a lot of side quests. It took me like 40 hours. So yeah, this person did it in 4. So they, I don't know. I haven't watched that one, so I need to go watch that too. I unfortunately wasn't able to watch too much of it this year, but I want to go back and watch a lot of them because the Zelda ones are always fun.
Mm-hmm. Zelda is probably one of my favorite series of games of all time. Oh, yeah. And it like there was a part of me that really was. I really wanted to just take a paycheck last week and just go buy the Switch just so I could play that game.
I know.
But unfortunately. Yeah.
But, well, JT did that.
Yeah, JD, give us an impromptu review on the Switch. Make the Switch,
man. After a couple hours of playing with it, yeah, I like it.
Nice.
Very
in-depth. Oh, you just got a Switch, JT?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you should have me.
I've been playing Xenoblade Chronicles too, and my goodness, is it good.
The real question is, do you have your standard gray Joy-Cons, or do you have the red and
blue? I got the red and blue, baby.
Nice. I have double blue, JT.
Oh, well, aren't you fancy?
I just got the other red and blue set, and I sold both my red to my friend.
So I've got amphibian ones. What up now?
Which one is that?
I just made that up.
I think Switch is pretty awesome. It's a nice system.
I enjoy it.
Yeah. Do you have any other game aside from Xenoblade?
Mario Odyssey, which is also freaking amazing. Like I've been so out of Mario games. Like I've been over them, and then I play this, and I'm like, I'm a kid. I love it.
Yeah. That's a great game.
My kids love it. I love it. Like, you know, I'm sitting there on the couch playing Mario with my kids, and I'm thinking, oh my god, this is it. You know, I've arrived.
Yeah, no, remember when you're out to like traveling, flying, or whatever, you can
take bring it along
on the go. Yeah.
Heck yeah. Powered by NVIDIA.
Powered by NVIDIA Tegra.
It is, right? Like it is actually
powered by Tegra X1, which is their Maxwell based GPU. It's a great little SoC there.
Well, there you go. The Switch gets the Nestle seal of approval.
Yeah. Boom. Well, Nestle, didn't you buy like 5 of them or something like that?
I only got like 2 or 3, and I ended up selling both to like people from work at pretty much like, you know, around cost anyway. So because I think I only made like one, like a little bit higher, but because I don't really know the guy, but
yeah.
Nice. Well, now it's time for our podcast where we move into the random rant section, where we all have something that is bugging us. It can be related to gaming, technology, anything. I think AJ wants to start us off this week. So AJ, what is your random rant?
So my random rant for the week it has to do with Amazon. I love Amazon as a company. Prime shipping is great. One day Prime, you know, pickups is amazing, especially now that I work down in the city and I can just, you know, stop by after work. But my rant for this week is it has to do with their shipping estimate. Because I bought a controller for my Xbox One because I needed a second one. And when I ordered it, I chose one day shipping, $4, whatever. So pay for it. I bought it on a Thursday. I wanted it on Friday. And I got the email when it shipped saying that it would be delivered on Monday. So I was like, well, that ruined my plan because I needed it for the weekend. And I was just generally perturbed. So I went to Target, ended up finding the same exact controller in the same colorway and all that, and I bought it. So now I've dropped $120 on controllers in the span of like 4 hours or something like that. So the next day rolls around, Friday, and I get a email text alert from Amazon saying, hey, your controller's out for delivery, which also perturbed me because I'm like, you can't just, you know, change your mind midway through the shipping process here. So sure enough, the controller did arrive on Friday, the day that I paid for it to show up. But I already had one from Target. So today I went to Target and I took my unopened, unwrapped Amazon controller and returned it and was able to get all my money back. So that's cool. But nice. Still, it just annoyed me. It just kind of put me off guilty for a little bit when I found out that at first my controller wasn't going to be delivered on time, and then it was, in fact, delivered on time. And that ends my rant.
Excellent rant. Anyone else have any Amazon horror stories?
I've actually gotten kind of a feeling that in the last couple times I pre-order video games from Amazon, they just don't deliver it on time, for me at least.
I've had that problem too.
Yeah, I think like it's like 3 times for me. I didn't get my Switch on time, didn't get like a couple games, I forgot what it was, but it's always like a day or two late, and then I just don't understand. Like, I pre-ordered the damn thing. You know, I kind of expect it to be delivered on the day it's released, as you promised.
I don't think they ship them until they're released.
I think no, they usually ship it like a day before, and then they usually overnight it to you. But sometimes, like, I guess they took too much pre-order, and they failed to do to actually do it on time.
They failed to deliver.
Yeah, it's actually been pretty recently, like the last year or so. It's been happening more and more to me, at least.
Well, Reddit always tells you to pre-order. That's why. To pre-order. Not Reddit tells you not to pre-order.
Blame pre-order. Reddit.
No. Yeah, it's Reddit's fault for everything.
Yep. That's just how it works. Oh, we also have to talk about reasons why the Pawtucket Patriots are the greatest sports team of all time.
Oh, right, yes. In our podcast notes. So there actually have a... So my podcast notes, we wrote that I wrote reasons why New England Patriots are the greatest football team of all time. That was crossed out. Replaced by the Cleveland Browns. That was crossed out. replaced by Pawtucket Patriots. So now, JT, you must defend that. Why are the Pawtucket Patriots, a fictional beer company in Family Guy, the greatest sports team of all time?
Well, because Family Guy. I got nothing.
All right.
I can't defend this.
I mean, Family Guy is a pretty good reason. I'm not even gonna lie. So yeah. I accept it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see next week when the New England Patriots destroy the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, now.
I don't know. The Jags have a pretty stout defense.
Now, hey, I seem to remember a bet I had with one member of this podcast crew about last year.
What?
I think it was 2 years ago now, wasn't it? Because it wasn't.
No, it was last year.
Yeah.
So, JT, how did the AFC East championship game go last year?
The Steelers won the Super Bowl, of course.
Oh, right. Silly me.
I'm rewriting history.
Oh, yes. We got in the alternate timeline. So in the real timeline, Patriots beat the Steelers in the AFC East Championship last year. Now, we had a bet where, and I'm documenting this in the podcast because it's been a year now, still haven't paid up. Yep.
Yes, I will plaster you on my walls.
Yes, we made a bet that the loser would plaster the winner's face on their wall behind their webcam. So whenever we had to stream or anything, or talk on the webcam, it would be seen. Now, I won this bet, obviously, because, as you know, Patriots came back with the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. you can't deny that. That was awesome.
I'm a Cleveland Browns fan. I can't say anything. So
exactly. Hey, they had a parade this year.
They did. We did have an 0-16 parade. We raised, I think it was $17,000 for charity, which equated to 68,000 meals or something like that.
That's awesome.
So, you know, we got that going for us. But
now, I have a question about that. Were the was that just like a fan thing, or was there, did the Browns actually come out for that?
No, it was a fan thing where just a bunch of people, somebody was pissed off, I guess, and just decided, hey, we could do this, so we're going to do it. And I'm like, okay. And they got the permit and they got all of that stuff set up and made it happen.
That's honestly really awesome.
Yeah. I would have gone, except it was like, I think it started at, it was like last Saturday and it was ridiculously cold outside. It was like, I think with wind chill, it was like below zero. So it was bad. But yeah, like I said, they ended up, you know, raising a bunch of money for charities, so that's...
Oh, good for Cleveland.
Yeah.
I like Cleveland. Cleveland's a cool city.
It's a nice place. I don't mind living here, so...
I've been there a couple times. Cleveland's cool. Yeah, that's my random rant.
But JT hasn't paid
JT
up.
JT still has not paid his debt.
You gotta pay up, man.
Don't worry, it'll come.
Don't be that guy.
Now, if the Saints, who just did a huge comeback against the Vikings, if they actually get the Super Bowl and play against the Patriots, I might actually have a little bet with you, a Cage.
Oh my!
See, that would be that'd be a more risky bet than betting against the Steelers.
Because you know, Drew Brees is my boy.
I know. I will take the bet. Not gonna. We'll document this here. I will take the bet. I won't be as comfortable as I was taking the bet against JT last year, but I will take your bet if the Saints get to the Super Bowl.
Go Saints!
Because Jag won't take my bet for the Jaguars next week. So I don't know. We'll see.
I'm actually pretty surprised that the Saints did pull a comeback
here. I know
they were down like 17 points, and then I guess Drew Brees just carried them to victory.
Drew Brees is amazing.
That's kind of what he does.
Well, all right, gentlemen. It's been a great evening chatting with you guys.
Indeed.
As always.
We should do this again sometime.
Yeah, we should. Maybe a weekly thing.
Maybe next week, yeah.
Maybe next week. Well, like, thank you, everyone, for...
Like a podcast?
Like a podcast, yeah.
What?
Who knew?
Well, yeah. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the first episode of the Red Light Roundtable. Which I believe is what name we're going for.
Yeah, I like it. I think I'm pretty good.
Yeah, I'm down.
Make sure to visit us on redlight.gg.
Yep, where you can find links to all of our social media, including our Discord, which is our main source of communication. You can meet all the cool members of the Red Light District.
It's a pretty rad place.
It is. It's a cool place. And they say it gets cooler.
You bundled up now. Wait till you get older.
I messed up that line. Anyway, thank you all for joining us in this fine evening. From all of us here at Red Light Gaming, have a great week. We will talk to you later.
Farewell.
Adios.